We are in a teaching series in Romans. Last week we covered Romans 6. We started in Romans 6, 1 through 14. Does anybody remember what Romans 6, 1 through 14 covered? Can I help you? Romans 6, 1 through 14 spoke about our baptism within Jesus. Spoke about what that means. And there was this prevailing concept through some people within the church in Rome that this letter is written to, that if God's grace is as good as he says it is, we should keep sinning so we can get more of it. Right? That's that beautiful American capitalist culture. I want more of that. How do I get it? I'll just keep sinning for more grace. And Paul, like we talked about, gently guided the Romans and the Gentiles, and he uses this phrase that has an exclamation point on the end of it, which is very gentle. And he says, by no means are you supposed to do that. Do you not remember what this is? Do you not remember what your calling is into this new life? And then he ends and he talks about being an instrument of... It's been a long time. It's been 7 days. Instrument of wickedness or an instrument of righteousness. And we talked about everybody's playing a song, right? Everybody's playing along with a song, and we use this analogy of this instrument like a guitar or drums or whatever, but are you playing in tune with God's song? And this week, he unpacks that even further. He continues to go down this road and use word pictures and use things that are very relevant to their culture today. But in our culture today, it's going to make us bristle. I know that no scripture does that. False. Okay? Scripture makes us bristle a lot of times because it's conflictual with what we are and who we are and who we've made ourselves, and it shows the disparity between us and God. But in culture, 2,000 plus years ago, slavery was alive and well. And we don't like to talk about slavery. In fact, we do everything we can to avoid slavery of people and enslaving people or people groups or genders. We try to do everything we can. But in this day and age, back then, in that day and age, slavery was a real thing. And so Paul unpacks this further using this slavery analogy, and I want to read it to you. Can I do that? All right, here we go. If you have a Bible, please open it, read it with me. If you don't have a Bible, you came here and you said, man, I've never bought a Bible. There are free Bibles right next to the earplugs. And I got a text from one of my elders this morning, right before I hit the stage. And he said, oh, I got my earplugs just in time for the teaching. And there was a picture of the free book, Bible table, and earplugs. So if you need them for that as well, I think God can bust through those if he needs. All right? But please go get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible or you don't want one of those hard or paper copies, get an app. There are Bible apps all over the place that are just great. And then you can have it on your phone all the time. And you can search by topic, you can search by word, you can search for whatever you want within the Bible there. It's great. I use it. All right? So let's read. I'm reading out of the New International Version. There's many different versions of the Bible, and this is just one of them. So read along with me. We're in Romans 6, chapter 15 through 23. Paul says this. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Sounds like the opening of this chapter. And then he gently guides us one more time. By no means! Exclamation point. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves? That bristles me. You are slaves of the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Then Paul goes on to make us feel better about this. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. You guys are kind of stupid, is what Paul's saying in a nice way. You see, see how he gently guides? He's right, though. I feel that way a lot. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. Man, I don't like that word, slaves. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, there's scriptures within the Bible that I see as duh statements. If I can get over some of the language, if I can get over some of the word pictures that they use that make me upset, like the word slaves. But this to me reads as a duh statement. As we talked about last week, we talked about law versus grace, right? And the law is able to do many things. It commands, it demands, it rebukes, it condemns, it restrains. It even points away from us to another person. Hey, I'm not that bad, but you're a terrible person, right? Everybody's encountered that form of Christianity. Yeah? Maybe some of you still practice that form of Christianity. Ouch. Yeah. So that's the law. That's the law. This is this condemning, this restraining, this thing. And the way Paul talks about being slaves, it's interesting. He talks about this former life that we lived. And he's talking to a church in Rome with Romans and Gentiles. And these are people that have said yes to Jesus. These are Jesus' people. And he's reminding them. And I find it interesting that he calls out this sin in them, this wrong being with God, in such a way that he talks about, hey, you know, how did that work for you? When you were slaves to this wrong being, how did that work for you? In fact, you're now ashamed of the things that you've done when you were in wrong being. You're ashamed of the hatred that you've carried in your heart for your brother, for your sister, for your mother, for your father, for any individual. You're ashamed of that now. You're ashamed of how you spent time just doing drugs. You're ashamed of the life that led to. You're ashamed of the addiction that caused. You're ashamed of the money that you spent doing those things. Your former life, you're ashamed now because you didn't know how loved you were. You didn't know how loved you were, so you resort to cutting yourself. You resort to suicide attempts. You resort to things other than God. You're ashamed of these things. You're ashamed because you used to just stockpile money and be this very selfish person, and when it came to other people's needs, you didn't care. You didn't care. You're ashamed because you're not a good neighbor in your neighborhood. You're that neighbor. Anybody's that neighbor? Raise your hand. Really? We're going to talk afterwards, okay? We're going to talk on what it means to be a good neighbor. You're ashamed because, man, church starts at 10:30. And at 10:20, you're on the internet looking for things that aren't God. Devaluing people. Devaluing people. You're shamed by that. This is that former life. How did that work out for you? Paul is so gentle with us. That's perspective. That's perspective, Jesus people. This is who you once were. But that's not who you are anymore because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, because of Jesus and what he did for us. Jesus came and he told us to live in a certain way. He taught us. He didn't tell us. He taught us. He displayed it. He modeled it. And his mission was to come and die, to be a sacrifice for us, so that these things that we are ashamed of, these things that we continue to crawl back to, these things that just entice us and take us down, we don't have to abide by those anymore. I think there's a word called freedom. Jesus brought ultimate freedom. Jesus is ultimate freedom. So he dies and he doesn't stay dead. He conquers death. So really there's nothing that Jesus can't do. There's nothing that God who created us can't do. And Paul says, stop being a slave to righteousness. You are not that anymore. And the problem with that thinking is you're thinking like I'm thinking, yeah, right, it's impossible to stop sinning. And I say, yes, it is. Altogether. 100%. There was only one person that ever did that, and that was Jesus, right? And that's not what Paul is talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about. This perfection, this, okay, you've arrived now. You will never fail again. You will never slip again. But what he is saying is you are no longer a slave to it. You are no longer bound to it, this former way of life, this thing that you were, this person that you were. You are not that, thanks to Jesus. And we don't buy it. We don't understand it. Because I'm a little dull. I'm a little stupid. I'm sorry for all you intellectual intelligence people out there, all right? But we don't buy it, so we don't buy it, so therefore we don't live it. And we continue to live in this broken system, this broken way of life, this broken narrative that doesn't reflect who God is or who Jesus is or our freedom within those things. And so even though we don't say it, well, I might as well just keep sinning, that grace may abound, we live it. Because we're awesome. And we know better than God, right? This hurts. This is painful, isn't it? I'm listening to every word I say, and I'm like, Adam, right there. There you are, man. And I don't know how else to declare the freedom over you that Jesus already gave you. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, there's a story. It's not a story. It's God setting up law and rules and regulation. This is a time before Jesus. And he's setting up all these laws and this regulation, and he addresses slavery, which we don't care for today, right? I hope none of you care for slavery today. If I see a Confederate flag, on your home, on your car, I will deface it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to go to jail. I'll just be sad. All right? But there's a story in Exodus, and God's setting up this system with people, and he talks about slavery, and he talks about owning slaves, and he talks about being able to trade slaves or let slaves go. And it talks about this slave, this particular slave, and if he has a family, they can go. But if the slave decides not to go because his master is good, this doesn't even sound right, slaves and good masters and things like that. If he decides that his master is good and he doesn't want to leave, he can stay. Because what he's found is good. And then there's this practice, which I wish I would have thought of when I got my ears pierced, so I'd have some holy way to describe why I did what I did. Everybody said, "Why would you do that to your ears?" And I just say, "It cured boredom." That's my standard response. And they said, "Yeah, I bet." But there's this practice where they would go to a doorpost and they would pierce the slave's ear to signify that I'm staying because what I found here is good. You are good to me. You are loving to me. And I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. One of our guys, Matt Coulter, here in the room, who you often hear me call out a lot. Last week I called him out for yawning. This week, I think he's sitting nice and doing good things, all right? So, but he and his buddy John, they had their ears pierced. They went to the doorpost of each of their homes. No, I think you said Walmart, maybe, right? They went to Walmart, and this was the concept, is God is good. And I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. And they got their ears pierced to represent that. And what's beautiful is Paul, at the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about baptism. Do you not understand what you were baptized into? That's that. God, you are good. What I have found in you is true. What I have found in you is good. What I have found in you is grace. And I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to be a slave to that. And that means I'm going to carry out what you ask of me to carry out. I'm going to love as you ask me to love. I'm going to speak only what you give me to speak. I'm going to be the neighbor that you describe. I'm going to love myself as you love me. I'm going to love others as I love myself. Some of you come here so hate-filled about yourself and God saying, "Stop it! Live in freedom!" I'm getting a little worked up. So therefore you don't love others. Because you can't understand why God's love is so great for you. So you just don't operate in it. You don't live in it. You don't trust it. What if you started today? What if you started this weird thing of actually trying to live in it? Give it the old college try. If you're like me, that meant F's, okay? So aim higher, all right? What if you started to believe it this morning? What if you started to own it this morning? What if you started to own the salvation that Jesus came for? To give you free of charge. Why? Because he loves you. What if you started taking that salvation and loving others free of charge? Why? Because you've been loved first. What if you started seeing yourself as someone that's going to change the world? This isn't some Joel Osteen feel-good speech. This is scripture. Go out and disciple people. Go out and give away what's been given to you, what you found within Jesus. It's got to start somewhere. For some of you, it started years ago. And you've slipped back into some bad habits. You've slipped back into some old ways. And you've slipped back into believing lies instead of believing truth. You can stop that today because you are not bound by anything. You are free. What if you started believing what happened when you said yes to Jesus? For some of you here today, you've never said that. You've never made this commitment. You've never made this contact. This idea of baptism, being buried with Christ and alive in this new life, you don't understand it. And some of you today just need to say yes. That's the kind of freedom I want to live in. That's the kind of freedom I want for my friends, for my neighbors, for the world. And it's available. We're here and now. And it's not just a whitewater. We don't have the corner on the market, all right? Salvation is available to you. Freedom is available to you. But you have to choose whether you're going to be a slave to sin and continue in that, or whether you're going to be a slave to God, whether you're going to say, yes, God, what I've found in you is good, even though I may not understand it right now, fully. What I've found so far is good. What I've found so far is trustworthy. And start walking in that. Start walking in that, not alone, but with this community. Start walking in that, not alone, but whatever community you're from. If you're just visiting here today from some other place, you go back home and you start living that in community with your people. You start living that in community with your neighborhood. And watch the beauty of what happens. I can only speak from my frame of reference. I can only speak from what God has allowed me to see, and it is incredibly beautiful. It is incredibly transformative. It is incredibly real. I pray that just as the slaves in Exodus made the decision to say, yes, God, you are who you say you are, and I'm going to stick with you. You make that decision today. I pray that for those of you that haven't. God, keep pressing in their hearts. God, keep loving them up until this point through us, through other people. God, give them dreams. Freaky. God, speak to them. Freaky. God, let them own who you are. God, for those of us that have forgot, remind us in a mighty way, God. Through our interactions with you this morning, through our interactions with you through the rest of our life, remind us of your goodness, God, that we can say yes to being slaves of righteousness, slaves to the goodness of God, slaves to the cause of Christ. There's no need to waste any more time. There's no more information I can give you. There's nothing else I can tell you except that freedom's available and it can be yours. God, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for who you brought here this morning. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for who we are in you. God, I continue to pray, may we no longer believe the lies that we tell ourselves. May we no longer operate in those lies. May we operate in the freedom that only you give, that is only possible through the Holy Spirit. God, those of us that are steeped in sin, I pray that that cycle breaks today. As we're in wrong being with you, I pray that that cycle stops this morning. And that your goodness starts, and that your freedom starts for all of these people. God, not just us, but the rest of Laramie, our coworkers, our neighbors, our cashiers, our waitresses and waiters, our police men and women, our firemen and women, God, everybody. God, do your work not just here at Whitewater this morning, but all the other churches that are proclaiming Jesus. God, may that freedom be heard, may that freedom be experienced, may that freedom be owned. And it only comes by trusting that you are good, and you are who you say you are, and we are who you say we are. God, bring life to these people. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.